Otakuology Podcast with Otaku Mike Engine Graves.
Hey, how's it going? Welcome back to another episode of the Otakuology Podcast. I am your host, Otaku Mike. With me, as always, is my heterosexual life partner, Jin. How's it going today, buddy?
Pretty good.
Today, we are talking about a movie that Jin picked. It is all the way back in 1999. I think we got it over here in like the year 2000. Because I remember it really being circulated around in the year 2000. We're talking about Jinro, the Wolf Brigade. That's the movie we are talking about today. Because you picked this movie, sir.
I know, I picked this one randomly.
I have to say, I had forgotten this was a Mamoru Oshii written thing, like a movie.
Yeah.
So a little tidbit I figured out, or I found out through going on the Wikipedia, you know. Did you know this is actually the third movie in a trilogy, but it's technically a prequel to the other two movies? The other two movies are like live action movies. One was made in like the 70s.
The hell?
Yeah. Yeah.
The hell. So, you know, the funny thing, the reason why I picked this was because, very misleading, because the suit reminded me of the suit from Fallout.
I thought you were going to say the suits from Killzone.
Like, I don't know what that is.
The Hellghast. Like, Google Killzone real fast, like Killzone video game, and look at the bad guys' masks. They look almost identical to the suits they wear in Jinro. Like, it's
true.
It's like they basically got like inspiration from Jinro, I think, because Jinro was around before, I think, Killzone. But so this was written by Mamoru Oshii, and he even wrote the book it's based on, I believe. And yeah. I'm just gonna lead with this, because I'm not a big fan of Oshii films. The only Oshii film I'm a fan of is Ghost in the Shell, and that's it.
Yeah. No, I like this though, because the suit looked like the suit from Fallout. So,
and I have never seen this movie until today. It's always like eventually I'll get to it type of movie, you know?
Yeah,
because I remember it being heavily marketed. Like, I would see it in video game magazines. I would see it all the time when I would get like a Bandai anime, there'd be a trailer for it. Like, it was heavily
like, I know,
merchandised.
And the weird thing is when I told you that, you're like, oh man, I wanted to watch this forever. And I was like, oh man, I'm fulfilling somebody's dreams.
I kind of wish I did it, gonna be honest.
I agree.
So
let me steal your light real quick, or your thunder.
All right.
I guess I'm not really stealing anything, but so I would throw this up with our fucking fairy tale related ones that we've watched so far. You know, we had Bubble, which was like The Little Mermaid, and what was the other one that we had? I made the comparison, and I was like, this is like another like Disney movie.
I don't remember. I mean, Bubble was well animated.
Yeah.
But Bubble just didn't land for me.
I can't remember what the other one was. It was Bubble and something else. And those two kind of were seeming like they stole from like fairy tales.
Mm-hmm. This one definitely, I would say.
Oh, you know what it was?
What?
Belle.
But Belle was good.
But Belle seemed like it stole from, like, Beauty and the Beast, you know?
It did. It was not, Yeah. It was not like a bashful like stealing. It was like a definite like Beauty and the Beast was an inspiration for Belle, I would say, and it took homage with it, you know.
Yeah, but Bubble was like the Little Mermaid. This one really seemed like it stole from
Red Riding Hood.
Yeah, like Little Red Riding Hood.
I would say they stole the story, but I don't know how much it actually relates to, like, it, like, I don't know.
I don't know, because, you know, they had that whole, like, weird tale about wolves and stuff going forward, and, like, the wolf and the girl, and da-da-da, and I was like, yeah, this sounds exactly, it sounds like Little Red Riding Hood from, like, way, way back in the day. Like, 1830s or a little bit before that. I mean, because it was set up basically the same way, where it was like the wolf tricked the girl and got to grandma's house first and tricked her into eating part of grandma.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the very, very old telling of Little Red Riding Hood.
Yeah.
And that was kind of the story that we got. So I'm pretty sure it was spot on, even though they didn't say, hey, this is the story of Little Red Riding Hood. But this is nothing like that. I mean, I would almost make the comparison that this was like two movies in one. So I felt like we had a little weird love story tension when the guy was outside of his suit.
Yeah.
And then we had this whole flip side when he was in the suit.
But let's
where it was almost like a war video game.
Let's get into the plot of this movie. So it starts off in alternate 1950s. Did you know it was an alternate 1950s?
No.
Cuz I didn't. So
I didn't either.
In this alternate universe, like the Germans and the Nazis won. Apparently, and they took over Japan, according to the Wikipedia page. And we're seeing this big, it was like a protest, I believe it was. And the protest is going out of hand, if I remember correctly. And we follow this girl who ends up getting like a package. It's like a purse, I believe. And the girl's name is, what was her name? She had a name. Her name is Kai or Kay, I believe her name is.
Yeah.
I think. I don't remember. I don't remember if she gets a name, because I don't remember all their names exactly. The guy's name was Kazuki Fuse, was what his name was. and then, I'm looking at something. So don't want to exit out of that. She ends up going through these sewers, and she is part of what they call, was it Cell Sect, if I remember correctly, is what it was called, Sect Cell is what it was called, which is like this resistance movement within the country of Japan. And they're trying to like overthrow like the government and stuff. And we have these special secret, I don't know, like they're secret police, but they're like counterintelligence, which is called, they're called the Self Police, if I remember correctly, is what they're called. And they end up countering this girl in the sewers. Japan has really, really big sewers. And she ends up blowing herself up, nearly killing everybody inside the sewer almost. This is where we meet our main character, who is a part of this like secret police or whatever they're called. He's part of the Jinro, like the Wolf Brigade, which is his name is Kazuki, is what his name is. And and Kazuki. He ends up very much going through like PTSD and stuff because he hesitated and he watched this girl basically blow herself up. And he ends up meeting this other girl who says she is the sister of the girl who blew herself up. Do you remember what her name was?
The girl that blew herself up?
Yeah.
It was something short, but it wasn't really that memorable. I mean...
Oh, so the girl who blew herself up was Nanami. Kay was the one who was the sister of Nanami.
Okay.
And they start to like befriend each other basically. And I'm going to like talk about this in like the loosest terms, like the plots and whatnot. You know, they end up befriending each other. We find out that Kay is actually working for the police to try to basically pin like a bombing or something on the Wolf Brigade, if I remember correctly. Is that what, do you remember that part?
Yeah.
And they basically,
yeah, because we right at the beginning, after like the bombings of this sect or whatever, can we just call them like the rebels? Because I that's what it was in my head.
They're the rebels.
Like,
they're the rebels, the terrorists, whatever you want to call them.
Yeah, I mean, I totally had to think about this whole movie almost in Star Wars terms because it is so bad. But like the rebels, you know, had blown up different places and shit like that and whatnot. Yeah. Of course, the girl, Nanami, that they wanted to kind of pin all this stuff on, obviously blew herself up, and they didn't have anybody to do it. And we do have kind of a higher powers meeting with the police and with the Wolf Brigade commander on like, hey, you know, people are going to look at us bad anyway. The Wolf Brigade basically like teamed up with the police to do this. In that essence, it kind of was like when you watch like a show with the NYPD and SWAT together.
They were basically like almost like an elite SWAT group.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, we did that, but they were already like, our asses are in hot water and shit anyway. Like, what else are we going to do out of that? And the guy, which I think kind of fueled this part that you're talking about, was talking about that, and the Wolf Grade commander was like, well, it doesn't really matter what the hell we do, if we stay together or not, like, they're gonna try and blame it on us / you, and so it really doesn't make any sense for us to like continue a joint custody agreement with the stuff, because if we do that, then you can just basically turn around and pin your shit on us too.
That is
so
true.
You know, we'd rather be in the boiling pot with you than just by ourselves.
Yeah.
And
Kazuki is really having a hard time dealing with all this stuff. Like, I don't remember if he knew about the plot to like sort of pin it all on him, basically, and the group. I don't remember. I think he finds out later, but he's having a really hard time. He befriends Kay, and they kind of strike up a friendship and stuff, and almost like a romantic relationship. But I feel like the romantic relationship kind of comes out of left field a little bit. Like, I don't know if it's out of like desperation or what. She feels like it might need to be. I don't know. Because she is basically gathering all this information on him and on stuff and whatnot. I'm kind of glad I watched it again a little bit, because I didn't realize she was betraying them, because I made it like halfway through the movie, and I wasn't like the best circumstances to like watch it, like environmental wise. And I was like, huh, I completely missed that the last time. I totally forgot, because I had fallen asleep as well watching the movie. But we end up, like you said, them going after the Wolf Brigade and Kazuki and whatnot. And I felt like the movie kind of takes an interesting turn in the third and like the later act of the movie, in my opinion, when we get to like the penultimate when Kazuki finds out and goes off to confront Kay, and he takes out the police who are trying to set him up for like a bomb delivery, basically, because she was a Red Riding Hood, which are like the code names for like the bomb delivery people, who were all women, if I remember correctly. And I don't know how he finds out. I don't remember how he finds out or how he connects that like she wasn't like who she said she was. Do you remember how, if that ever came into effect at all?
Oh, how what happened?
Like how he figured out everything, basically.
I don't, because it was just, I mean, I feel like they almost knew like from the get-go.
Uh-huh.
But that's because like every time we'd see a scene with the people, it was like they'd show like them behind the mask, you know?
Uh-huh.
Which is a pain in the ass.
Do you think they always knew about the plot to take them down?
I want to say no, because then it would make it more fun to watch.
Yeah.
But I really feel like they knew from the get-go, and it just seemed like they were being cordial the whole time.
Uh-huh.
Instead of like, because it seemed like at one point, like he cared about her.
Yeah.
And didn't want to just like throw her under the bus or anything. But, and kind of vice versa, you know, in that aspect. But then it kind of also seemed like they were also playing like cat and mouse whenever they were both wearing the suits.
Yeah. Yeah. And there were some interesting aspects that I did actually like about this movie. Like, I really liked the stuff that Kazuki went through, or Fuse went through, with dealing with the fact of watching a suicide bomber blow themselves up. Like, the PTSD he went through was really interesting to see, in my personal opinion, because I don't feel like that's something you normally see. Like, normally we get like sort of surface level PTSD in anime. We never have them fully like dealing with the fact that, hey, like, I wasn't able to stop this person or save this person. Like, they just blew themselves up, and like, see what that would be like. Like, seeing it for your own eyes, or through your own eyes, you know, like I feel like the way he dealt with it was kind of like how a real person would deal with it, like, most likely.
Yeah.
And I don't know about with like the seeing hallucinations and visions and stuff like that part, you know, when he would dream and stuff, you know, I don't know, maybe. Right. Maybe other people might see wolves attacking a dead girl who was blown up. I don't know. Who knows? You know. Go ahead.
I agree. I don't really know per se in part of that. It was just really weird.
It was very much a Shiro movie. Like, I was like, oh my god. The only thing we didn't get was a basset hound in the movie, which I was very surprised. You know, basset hounds were in the movie, because that's one thing he likes to put in his movies. That was one aspect I really liked about the movie. I thought the animation was very, very well done when it was like in the action sequences and stuff. There were a couple parts in the movie where I was like, is this rotoscoped animation? Because I felt like the characters were moving very, very lifelike. You know, it wasn't like very like dramatic or over the top. It was like very much like real like movements and stuff like that, you know?
Right.
So I do commend them on that aspect. It was interesting. One of my favorite parts, it was towards the end when all of his friends show up who are part of the Wolf Brigade as well. And they like start like armoring him up, and she like realizes, oh, like he's a part of the secret group as well. And like just seeing him like armor up, it kind of almost turn into a different person, like you said earlier.
Yeah.
And like seeing almost him being like the predator almost, and having him hunt his prey, and the fact that he was hunting like the police in the sewers, I thought was very well done, in my opinion. Like seeing like the cat and mouse type of thing, you know, him chasing him down and stuff, and like systematically like killing them all. Like it was crazy. I felt like it was done very well in that aspect. You know.
No, I completely agree. I feel that way too. Now there were some parts though that I felt a little weird with part of that.
Like what?
Because like how you said, it seemed like he was kind of like the big bad wolf, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, trying to. But besides her little arm thing that obviously depicted her as being Little Red Riding Hood, per se, it also seemed like you could have watched the movie in another way where it was her chasing him down.
Oh, I guess I could see that as well, because she did ask him like to stop at several points. You know, like, why do you have to do this and stuff like that? You know, we can just leave. We can just leave and go off and be like by ourselves, like she said before, and whatnot, you know. So I could see that, you know, her chasing him down as well. I could definitely see that in this movie. But yeah, I mean, I don't really know what much there is to say. Like, I thought the ending was really interesting. The fact that like I thought we were gonna have like a happy ending, but we don't get a happy ending. Like, he chooses duty over like letting this girl live, which was terrifying and horrifying, you know, because he like very much cuts himself off from his emotions and stuff, it seems like, and like becomes like what I don't say what he's meant to be, but like he gives in and like to like almost like animalistic nature, it seems like.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I agree.
Because they made him kill her because they couldn't have any loose ends, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead. Sorry.
This was just a really bad movie.
I mean, go ahead with what were you gonna say.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. You know, because at that point it almost seems like it seems like the weird, like fucked up notion, if you wanted to say like, well, what if we were doing Little Red Riding Hood and the wolf was actually doing all of it because he loved Little Red Riding Hood, you know? I mean, it seemed like that was an aspect that was in it as well, with their part and him playing, you know, the chase or vice versa. Mm-hmm. And then it just kind of comes to the end, if we're still looking at it Little Red Riding Hood wise, you know, if more wolves came around, you know, does he kill out of necessity and kills her, you know, as it kind of was that way, or is he killing her for food, you know?
Oh, that's interesting. Because, so, like, he did seem to struggle with the fact that he didn't want to kill her. Like, that was a very dramatic scene, because she starts to, like, cite the Red Riding Hood saying, like, you know, like, oh, what big teeth you have, you know, oh, what,
right.
You know, stuff like that, you know, which was very heartbreaking to see, because it seemed like she was a woman who was trying to get her life on track after being like in this like terrorist rebel group, because she was a former Red Riding Hood and stuff like that, you know, which it didn't end happily for her. I'm surprised there are two other movies based in this world, to be honest. I did not expect for two more movies to pop up. I didn't expect this to be a franchise, and it was an interesting look at like what the world could be. And like, you know, because I always like those like alternate worlds. Like I really love like Man in the High Castle. If you ever watch that, you know, that one's about like what if the
sounds like that might be our next one.
No, that one's too long. Like Germans end up taking over like the United States, basically. The Nazis end up taking over like the United States. It's not a bad show, but yeah, it kind of reminds me of like, you know, like the dystopian, almost future esque, where not everything's perfect, and there's like a darker side to the world, which I kind of liked. I don't know how my audio would drop in and out when I was streaming it. Like it would become low and like high, so I didn't know if like it was like a transfer issue when it, on Tubi or whatnot. Did you have that problem?
I didn't. I think the only time I had that was like right at the beginning.
Okay.
But it was, yeah, mine really didn't mess up at all.
Yeah, I felt like there was very much like a washed out look over the anime at points. And there were times where I couldn't see a lot of stuff, especially when it was like dark. This anime wasn't for me. We'll just jump to like the ending. This anime was not for me. Was it impeccably well animated? Yeah, it was. That's probably the only like bright point or bright spot in this anime. It was well animated. I thought the story like really, really dragged in the middle part. It was so slow.
Yeah.
Like it was such a slog to get through. I wanted to like it. I wanted to like this anime, but I didn't. I did not like it at all.
Really? Yeah. I mean, let's say like fairy tales and all that shit and whatnot. Still, I'd say Bell holds the gauntlet on that. If we go with, you know, with between Bubble and this one, I mean, Bubble would be number two and this one would be number three. And if we're going to just compare every anime movie or anime that we've watched, I mean, this has got to be in my top worst 10.
Really?
Yeah, I mean this
I feel like this is for like a certain sect of people, and it wasn't for
me. If you're a certain sect of people, I hope that you don't enjoy it either. I mean, I could see, I agree with you, because I didn't know the Ghost in the Shell thing. I agree with you, like seeing like how it did have Ghost in the Shell aspects to it.
Yeah.
And the old art style from before, not the new one, Standalone Complex, but how we had it back in the day.
Yeah, you're talking about the movie. You're talking about the movie.
Yeah, the movie.
Yeah.
But this one just, I like the aspect that they were trying to use Little Red Riding Hood. I like the fact that they use stuff from that story and whatnot. Mm-hmm. I love that they use the aspect from the old stories. I like the suit. I love kind of the hook of the girl blowing herself up right at the beginning.
And, yeah, that was very shocking.
Yeah, and what's his face? Like, then basically being like, oh, this motherfucker, I can't believe how he got out of that. I mean, he got out of it, and he had, like, a fractured rib or something, or a bruised rib, and you're like... Yeah, like
a fractured rib, like something like a...
Yeah, and the bomb that the girl had went off, like, 5 feet away from him. Yeah. So... I mean, you know, we just had all that stuff. I mean, it was fun. It was kind of more of an anarchy thing starting out and all that. But I mean, just the drag through it, I feel like this would be a really good one, honestly, if somebody remade it and put some more of today's stuff in it. I think it would be just fucking kick-ass.
Well, one thing I have to say, like where they had this big like rebellion aspect in the movie at the beginning.
Yeah.
It's gone after the first like 20 minutes of the movie. they don't even, like, you don't even see the rebels.
Right.
At all. Like, they just get thrown to the wayside for this weird political game that we're playing with, like, the different, like, police departments, you know?
Right. Like, well, and I really think the only thing that that actually was supposed to do is that it was supposed to put us in the mindset and question what's her face? The girl in?
K. Oh, Nanami?
K. K, yeah.
K, yeah.
For K, basically, was supposed to make us think that, hey, she could be, and it was her sister, you know.
Well, that it she turned could out not be to be still her
part
sister.
Of the rebel. Yeah.
It turned out not to be her sister, and turned out, but her whole backstory was like a fucking lie. The only thing that was real, I think, was she was a Red Riding Hood.
Right.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, I feel like that's what it was supposed to be. It was supposed to lead us up to thinking, oh my God, it's what's her face's sister, and what's her face's sister is, or she was a rebel, so her sister has to be a rebel. And, you know, it almost kind of seems like, I'm going to go back to Star Wars. it almost seemed like where the Jedi were fighting the Sith, and it was all because the Separatists, like, were like, hey, you know, it's not us, you know, or the
it's
the,
them.
The
it's
Sith the did it. The Sith did it.
Yeah,
it's
like,
oh, it's the Separatists, you know, the Separatists are the bad guys. We're not even involved. And then you see Darth Maul pop out of nowhere and like, oh shit, and Count Dooku and like all that other crap. And you're just like, oh man, I think there's something a little more into this that I need to read.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of what it just seemed like. It was all a big red herring to say, hey, no, I'm a completely different person that works for the police and I'm trying to screw you over. But you've been thinking this whole time you've been watching that I'm a rebel. So, you know, I do see how they could have done that, but whatever. Yeah. I mean, I'm sitting there like, I'm bored with this. And whenever texted me, whenever you were like, this is a slog, I was like, oh man, this is going to be the worst. Because I think you were like 30 minutes ahead of me watching it. I was like, oh God, this is going to be shitty. Like, this is going to be so shitty.
When I like originally stopped, I finished it last night, you know, and I tried to rewatch it as well, but I didn't make it through that far through the rewatch. But because I had fallen asleep and whatnot. And yeah, even like towards the end, I was like, okay, how much time do we have left? Why do we have 30 minutes left of this movie? I was like, oh God. But I mean, I feel like once we got to the part where like, he ends up going to get her like at the museum from the police and stuff, I feel like the movie really started to pick up there. Like that part of the movie was pretty good. I feel like trim a bunch of the fat off in the middle and just give me the beginning and the end.
See, and that was the problem with part of that too. I feel like after the beginning, just that slog through the middle and everything, by the time I got to the end, I wasn't interested in continuing it really, you know?
Yeah.
Like I still finished it, but it ruined it so bad that I was like, how do I like make sure like that I finish this, you know, because it lost its pizzazz at that point.
Yeah, it does, and for me it lost its pizzazz in the middle. Like I was like, oh my God, like, oh geez. But it did start to pick up a little bit for me towards the end. Like I liked the direction they were going with it, and like because I felt like it tied really nicely into the fact of him dealing with the fact that with his PTSD and stuff, the girl dying, but like the whole political intrigue, like discussions about like what they should do and stuff.
And that was another thing I feel like out of that him having the PTSD episodes, I think it was kind of bullshit through part of this because he's in this group already, right?
Yeah,
and
saw the girl blow up too.
Right. You know, so it didn't seem like it really affected anybody else.
No.
You know, any of that other shit. And then not only that, but I mean, right before this, right before we saw her blow up and everything, we saw basically the whole Wolf Brigade come out of these tunnels like fucking fire ants out of
them. They murder everybody.
And they murder like 10. It wasn't 10. It was 7.
It was probably around like 7, 8, 9 maybe.
Yeah. And they just slaughtered as many people, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, given it was their fault because they shot first.
And they also like carried the bomb and like threw like a bomb at the police at one point during the riot, and it blew everything up, you know.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. But I mean, like, and I feel like things just could have went better. They were like, let's move, let's do all this. And first off, like, whenever it was like, oh yeah, we got this one, I'm like, aren't there buildings around? I mean, we saw it with the girl, like where they had the bombs and everything at.
Yeah.
There was one street that everything was going on. I'm like, why couldn't you just walk around the guys, you know?
Yeah.
Why couldn't you just walk around the police and then like bomb all of them? You know, if that's what you were trying to do, you know, and why couldn't you do like more of this other stuff? And then the other thing that kind of really agitated me and pissed me off was, if you already knew about the Wolf Brigade, just like all of us know about the fucking SWAT team and all that, then how the fuck did you not already know? Like, maybe going into the sewers was a bad idea.
Wasn't the Wolf Brigade like a myth? Like, they didn't know if they really existed.
I think they tried to play that off, but I mean, I really don't think that's true. I think that people knew.
The Wolf Brigade was like a different like sect of the whatever they called themselves. They're like an offshoot from like the group. Like,
right. But then here, let me throw this out there, though. Whenever the Wolf Brigade commander guy and the police officer were talking about, the chief, were talking about boiling water, they must have already known, because how would somebody so new come out and do whatever they wanted and automatically catch the heat for all of it?
Mm, you're right.
You see what I'm saying? Like, yeah. They already had to be known to some capacity, even though they were a myth. They had to be known in some way, in some capacity.
You could say, and
if
like,
that's true.
Go ahead.
If that's true, then why wasn't there more on like the rebels doing it? And I mean, I can completely know just from a movie writing, because the rebels weren't supposed to be important to this.
They weren't
except for Kay's fucking backstory.
Yeah, Kay. And
that was the only point. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, no, Nanami didn't even matter in that. It was just solely Kay.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, in that aspect, there's just... And maybe throwing this out there, maybe if they had focused a little more on the rebel part of it some more, and the rebels actually being a thing and having maybe a character from the rebels as somebody that was kind of the go-between doing all this stuff, and then it almost made like Kay seemed like a double agent between the two.
Yeah.
We'd have to know that, you know?
Like, the Wolf Brigade is like, I don't want to say like they're like kind of portrayed as like the bad guys almost.
No, I agree with you.
Yeah.
I would agree. This is the capacity that I felt really with the Wolf Brigade. They were like Batman.
Yeah.
They were basically there to defend and do all this and keep the justice and whatnot. And at the same point, they were supposed to strike fear in people.
You could say they're kind of like stormtroopers almost.
Yeah. I mean, I would argue they're like stormtrooper Batman. You know, you sit there and everybody wants to go, he's a vigilante, that son of a bitch. You know, we're going to have to worry about him and do all this stuff. That's exactly what they were. I mean, they just didn't have all the gadgets, so obviously they had to be, you know, these stormtrooper type of guys.
Yeah, like we said, like, it starts off really good. Like, it left me like, oh my god, like, what are they going to do? Like, this person blew themselves up, who we were made to think that they're, like, a big character in this movie, almost, towards the beginning. And they just take them out at the knees, literally, because they're nothing left of her. But, like... It just I felt like, like I said, before, like you said, the terrorists needed to be in this movie, or the rebels needed to be in this movie.
Yeah.
Like, because there was no real, like, antagonist for the Wolf Brigade to go after. Like, right. You know, oh, let's go after these other police right here who want to go after us, but we don't really, like, have a reason why we really truly need to go after them.
Right.
I felt like, you know, yeah.
Well, so, because I'm done talking about this. what would you rate this movie?
I give it a 2 out of 5.
I'm glad you said that, because I'll give this a 1.5, and I'm only giving it a half because I love the reaction when you were like, I've wanted to watch this so long, for so long. That's the only reason I'm giving it a fucking half. If not, it'd be a 1.
I give this movie
altogether, with mine and Mike's score, is a 3.5.
I give it a 2 because of the animation. That's what I give it a 2. Story-wise, it gets a fucking, like, -5.
That's what I'm saying. The animation could be, like, fucking golden. And with the fucking story that they gave us, I don't think I can... I don't think I would have given it good points. Like, even on a scale of 100, if they had their animation down and I was like, that's 100. This story, I mean, we're already, like, at -50.
It was a tough one. It was a tough one, I have to say.
Yeah, I mean, it was horrible. So, like I said, with mine and Mike's score together, out of 10, it's a 3.5.
Yeah, I want to kind of go and see what other people thought of this movie.
No shit.
Because I was like, oh. No shit.
And you know the worst part? We actually gave this movie a lower score than what we gave Eakin. That is
what bad. Was Eakin?
I think Eakin was like, with both of us, I think I gave it like a 3.5 or a 4. Because I actually read the manga, so I knew the story. And I think you gave that one like a 2 or a 2.5.
Yeah, I mean, Eakin was terrible.
It got a higher score.
Eakin was terrible.
You're like, the boobs saved Eakin, though.
I mean, the boobs killed Eakin. Anyways, yeah.
You take that back. You can't be a pervy otaku anymore.
Okay, fine.
You can't be an itchy master.
All right.
But
please
forgive anyway, me. Guys.
I have sinned, itchy god. I have sinned.
Yes, bow down. Now I can just see you like doing the like bowing, you know, like on your hands and knees, like, please. And I'm just gonna be like, let me hit you with my wooden katana a few times.
Please, sir, may I have some more?
So I mean,
yeah.
I mean, yeah. So I'm hoping that our next one that we watch brings a little better. I mean, you and I both we didn't like the one before this, the cartoon.
It was okay. It had its moments.
It was okay, but it was still better than this. Like,
no.
We're gonna have to totally have like a whole different rating system now. I mean, if the last one was better than this one, there's a problem.
Did we even actually rate the last one? I don't remember if we did or not.
I think we did.
Oh. I don't remember.
I think we did, because I think we both gave it like a 3.
Oh, okay.
Because I think we both picked the same number. And I was like, wow, you know. we both definitely gave that one a good score.
Yeah, I mean, like, production IG stuff can be hit or miss sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, they're not all winners with,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, but I mean, like I said, I would wholeheartedly like to see this one with a remake. That's the best thing about it, I think. If we got a really good up-to-date remake on it, I think it would be fucking fabulous.
Maybe like a series.
Yeah, I mean, the story in and of itself... with some tweaks and shit, could have been really good.
Yeah.
Just the one that we have to base it off of with this movie, I mean, it just, it didn't hit.
No.
It was not going to Taco Bell for fourth meal. It was not that. So.
But anyways.
Thanks for listening, and we will see you next Tuesday.
Peace out. And stay safe.
Peace.
Watch this movie at your own risk, I have to say.
That's what I got to say. Watch this movie at Otaku Mike's risk.